Amen. Let's pray. And then we'll jump in this lesson for for the night. Father Yah, we just honor you and bless you as always. And we just come to you right now just to receive what you have for us to understand. And we thank you for the wisdom and understanding that you've given us and will always give us. And we just appreciate that very much. We declare that everything that we understand, we will put it into action. And we just, again, thank you for all things. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. All righty. I'm gonna start out. I'm gonna start out in 3 John. In particular, verse 2, and then we'll just discuss some things from verse 2. I was earlier today, and matter of fact, I'll share this information with my social media platform that I use quite a bit to just share some things that that Yah, you know, give me to write or, you know, to say. And this particular one, it got my interest. It just really piqued my interest because there were some things that I was writing today and, you know, earlier this morning, and then Yah said something to me, and I'll share what, you know, what that is, but I just want to kind of just sit things up. When he said it, I was a little surprised initially, and then after he addressed it further, I was left more at awe. I was left more at all because of how he was dealing with me, concerning the issue. And y'all know we've been dealing with a series of lessons titled "Patiently Endure," or "Endure Patiently," whichever one. Can't get the titles mixed up. Well, I know it had something to do with patience and endurance, but in that writing, I had made a statement in reference to Abraham, where Abraham said, Yah said to Abraham, he said, "Now I know," and we know that Yah is all knowing, and the best way to address it, in order to make an attempt, because, you know, who know the mind of Yah that they can instruct him, but the best way to explain it in making an attempt to understand an all-knowing God saying, "Now I know," is a term that I use when I say, you know, when sometimes people kind of tease me, we just be joking around, they be like, "You just think you know everything," and I be like, my response be like, "I know what I need to know." And so when I think about Yah making that statement, my small thinking, my little peon mind in attempting to relate to how Yah felt during that circumstance. I just use it as kind of a the same comparison, where we have all-knowing God who has the ability to know, but there are times when he chooses to allow an outcome to manifest, to confirm what he knows. And so he challenged me with this on this morning, because as I was writing, I was talking about where basically what we value, and you know, where our treasure is and things like that, and I just used different examples. And as I was writing, Yah spoke to me and said, there are things that you treasure. There are things that you treasure above what you should. Something along those lines. But when he said it, it was like, for lack of a better way to put it, it was like he was challenging me. It was like he was challenging me concerning what I value, what I treasure. And so he came at an angle that gave the impression that I didn't treasure what I truly treasured, and it left me, you know, again, kind of dumbfounded, because I'm like, okay, this is Yah. And if Yah is saying I'm not treasuring something, if Yah said something along the lines to give the impression that I'm not treasuring something, then I have to be aware of that and acknowledge it, because he's all-knowing. He knows me better than I do myself, and different things like that. And so I kind of got speechless for a minute, and I was concerned, because I was like, you know, and I started searching myself. I encourage you to do that. So I started searching my own heart, my mind. I started searching, and I was like, okay, why would Yah give me the impression that I treasure something more than what I say that I treasure? And so I thought about it, and I responded to my God. And I said, well, Yah, I know that I treasure you and your kingdom more than anything. This is something that I'm sure of, and I'm puzzled that you're challenging me on that, because I mean, you are all knowing, you know everything, and you come across and you give this impression that I don't treasure, that I treasure other things, but I have to respond according to all that I know about me and my relationship with you. And I'm saying to you is, you what I treasure. And I have no doubt that there is nothing that I treasure more than my relationship with you. And his response was, now I know. In other words, Lon, I check you to see if you are willing to stand on what you know. And the only way, I'm all knowing God. I know these things, but I have to make sure you know these things. So nobody greater can challenge you on what you know better than me. That's what y'all say. And even when it comes down to him, y'all is saying to me, even when it comes down to him, I have to be willing to stand for what I know. And I mean, I was puzzled, as I mentioned, because I'm like, okay, this is God. Man. I can't be playing around saying, no, oh, you wrong. So let me examine this. And I need your wisdom on this one here. You know, and I started examining myself. It wasn't that I was examining him. I was examining myself. And I'm checking. I'm like, okay, what is it that I could be possibly having as a treasure more so than my God? And I'm thinking, and my mind is wondering. I'm trying to find anything. So I'm coming up with stuff. I'm like, okay, is it people? Well, no. Is it building? No. Well, I'm just thinking, is it circumstance? I'm just thinking all kinds of stuff because I'm like, okay, God said this, and I need to search me. I need to search me out. And after that self-examination, I had to come back and say, I just don't see nothing. I can't think of nothing that I can put on a pedestal beside you or above you. I cannot think of anything that exists in life that makes me put that on the same level as my relationship with you. And his response was, again, now I know. I know what I put in you. I know where our relationship is. I know how we communicate and we fellowship on a daily basis. But I put you to the test in your own reasoning.
I was just going to ask that question. Is that for the things that we settle in our own mind?
Yeah.
Not that he don't know.
Yeah.
But it's almost like he does that as a way for us to see. And it'd be a check in our own mind. Okay, yeah. This is what it is.
Yes. Because if there was truly something there and I was being honest with myself, then I would have been like, yeah, that's where I am, y'all. But because he said it and is my God talking, I'm very careful how I respond. And it was all about me. It was all about my confidence in knowing that we, Yah and I, have a intimate, secure, and prosperous relationship. But it took him asking or bringing about the question for me to sit down and really, really examine it to make sure. And I encourage you to do the same thing. Position yourself to know, without a doubt, that no matter what, Yah and his kingdom is priority. Because in doing so, we now look at the verse. There are some things that y'all want to see happen with us, but it is necessary for us to be, it is necessary for him to be our priority. Verse 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now, we know the writer is talking about the relationship with the brethren and walking in truth, especially when you look at verse 3. But when we consider that truth belongs to Yah, when when we walk in it, because he is the source by which truth is manifested. When we walk in it, then it brings about a life of prosperity and health. Now, when we look at the word prosperity, a lot of times, because we're so carnal, that we think that prosper always means some form of financial stability. And so, in order for us to understand what this prosper means, Yah said this to me, and this is the part that I'm going to share, you know, in social media, is just that you get it first. He says to me, he said, life is a canvas. Then he went on to say, therefore the things that we paint is the portrait of our journeys. Then he said, make every stroke priceless. So when I look at the word prosper, that word to me is not limited to economics, resources, money, things. When I read the word prosper, it says to me that every part of my journey of life, Yah wished above all things that is successful. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may be successful. Your journey, be successful. I wish that above all things. And the way that manifests is that you continue in truth. Verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. My heart's desire for myself and for you is that we all walk in truth. And through walking in that truth, we as Yah's beloved have a successful journey. That every stroke that we take is priceless because we are taking those steps in truth, and Yah is desirous of us for us to be successful, and everything that we do along that path is priceless to Him. Don't be one of those people who when your portrait is finished, is filled with a lot of ugliness. A canvas that's been laid, that when it's said and done, people don't have good things to say about you. Each day, use a stroke that can change somebody's life. And when our day is done, we leave a legacy that somebody can look at with pride and follow. As we dealt with the lesson, I believe it was in training school, we talked about letting our light shine so that so that men can see our good works but glorify our Father which is in heaven. Let that be the portrait that you paint. Now, in order for, I'll change that. Y'all desire for us to prosper and be in health, to be successful and be in health. Notice what he goes on to say. Even as our soul prospers. People want to stay the same, but they want to be successful. Success and a mind change go hand in hand. There's a saying that I always say, insane is doing the same thing over and over expecting different results. In other words, people want results, but they don't want to change. They want to continue to do things as they've always done, but then they're always looking for Yah to bring them into a successful journey. God says, it's my desire through the writer that you profit and be in health, but I want something going on in your mental state. I want to see a transformation going on in the mind whereby actions are taken and changes are made for the better. But it amazes me how many people want to say the same, want to do the same, want to think the same, want to make the same choices, and then expect a successful journey in those areas. That's insane. If you keep driving down the road, going off that same bridge, and I'll be doggone if you don't get that car out of that ditch and you go down the road and come right back down that same road, trying to do the same thing to get past that same area and go right off that same bridge again. Failure is a result of a mind that refuses to change. Success is a result of a mind that continues to change for the better. Think about it again, how our father Abraham in the book of Genesis, Genesis 24. I just put up another Bible beside it. Genesis 24. This is when Abram is seeking a wife for his son. Verse 4. Genesis 24, verse 4. But the part that I found most interesting to me is verse 40. Verse 40, it says, "And he said unto me," this is the servant now sharing with what his master Abraham had said to him. And he said unto me, "The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. Make our way successful. Or make your way successful. And thou shalt take a wife for my son, of my kindred, and of thy and of my father's house. I like verse 40 because it lets us know that when we look at verse 2 to the right of the screen, that Yah is so committed to our journey being successful that he's willing to give us whatever is necessary. He'll send angels before us in order for our way to be successful. We have to understand that we serve a God. We have a Father who wish above anything that we be just fine in everything. It's a wonderful feeling to know that you have, or that we have, a Father who is committed and want above everything for us to be successful. That's impressive. And the reason why it's so impressive is because he is a Father who owns everything. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Everything belongs to Yah, and he's saying to each one of us, but I want you to prosper above all things. But I need your mind to change. I need your mind to increase. I need your mind to be as committed to me as I am committed to you prospering. Thus, Lord, I ask you a question to make sure that you're sure. Because I'm going to bless you, but I need your mind to be right. I often laugh when I hear our nation talk about reparations, and I'd be like, man, here we are, a nation of people who were done terribly wrong. And we have a right to reparations for that wrong being done. Everyone else that I can think of, or every other nation, have received reparations for in some manner where they have been wronged. We are the only nation of people who have yet to receive reparations. And I laugh because understanding the mind of Yah, Yah is saying, you are my people, you are my chosen people, and I wish above all things that you prosper, but your mind not ready. Your mind not ready as a nation. I watched this video, it was sad and funny at the same time. Where it showed, you know, comedy of black folks getting reparations and people going to the store buying whole trucks of cigarettes and train loads of TVs and all this kind of stuff. Rims went through the roof and just all kinds of things went through the roof. And so y'all's like, I got to get you right and make you come back under the rod of the covenant before I can give you those things, because I love you enough to give you those things, But at the same time, I can't give you those things with your current mindset.
Just to use an example, right? So if you as a parent has a child who's a drug addict, you can't give them money. Like, you may want the best for them, right? But giving them buku money may be more destructive to them than any benefit it would do because of their mind state or their current position, right? That would be more harmful than it is beneficial.
Yeah. Money, or in this case, success only enhances the mindset of what that individual already is. If I'm crazy and I start being successful, I'm going to be one crazy, successful Israelite. And y'all want that for me above all things. God said, you my people. I want to see you blessed. I want to see you successful. But I love you enough to not do it with your current mindset.
So let me ask this question then. So by the same token or with that understanding then, How can I word this? Should it be a reframing of our thinking from this context? And here's what I mean, right? So all that you said being true, y'all want us to succeed, but you know that thing, those things can't happen depending on what our mindset is, right? So it is that understanding that leads us to understand, okay, when y'all keep bringing things back around that to us may seem negative, but it's something that he's trying to bring us through to get our minds to change. He's that dedicated to us in that context to keep bringing those things around to get us to change our mind so that we can end up in the end state that he wants us in. So he's that committed to whatever that circumstance is, that he ain't going to deviate from that till we change our minds. I guess it's the best way to put it.
It is the manifestation of Yah's beloved for us. I love you enough, and I'm committed enough to you as my people to only do this and to keep taking you through this until your mind changes. There's a scripture that he said concerning our nation in Deuteronomy. Let me see. I believe it's Deuteronomy. Find it. Bear with me. It's a good passage to deal with at this particular ignore. We gonna find it. Deuteronomy 8. y'all are saying some things to our nation. And then he said, I'll just start verse 11. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11, he says, beware that thou forget not Yah thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, success, prosperity, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget Yah thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth out of the rock of flint. He beloved us, brought us through all that. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. All these things in life we go through because Yah is proving and testing and dealing with us in manner, because his goal, ultimate goal, is that he want to see us successful. I want good to happen to you. When you paint your canvas of life, I want people to be able to look at it and say, man, that person lived a good life. That person was successful. Not everything was perfect. They went through some fiery trials. They had some situations. But when you look at the portrait that they painted throughout their entire life, y'all was good to them. Sometimes you have to sit down and acknowledge, even when things are not going quite the way that you wanted to go, God's been good, man. Some days I don't feel so hot, but I'll be like, yeah, you've been good to me. Man, you give me a good life. You've been faithful. You've shown your love toward me on a daily basis. You are a wonderful God. You've been good to me. When I look back on my life and I see the portrait that's been painted, I say, Yah has been, he's been wonderful to me. I know he loved me. Yeah,
is that fall in line where it says in the word of Yah, I can't remember the exact word of it, but
we'll find it. Just say a line enough where everybody can hear you.
He chastises
whom the Lord loveth, yeah. Chastening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take out love it. I think I'm killing that word, chasing. Hebrews 12 and 6. Okay. Y'all help me out now. Okay, Hebrews 12 and 6. There it is. I'm going to start at verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not thou chastening of the Lord, mm-hmm. nor faint when thou art rebuked of him.
Yeah. So, so even in to wrap the framing in the context of what we've been dealing with on today. Basically, God is saying, I love you, and I desire these things for you. My correction comes because I love you. It's not like I'm just like a child as a parent. You don't whoop your kids because you don't love them or you hate them. It's something that it's a behavior that they're demonstrating that you know is ultimately destructive for them in the end. So your goal in correction is not to destroy them, not to utterly harm them. No, it's to correct that behavior and that mindset, because you know that mindset ain't gonna be productive for them in the long run.
Right. Yes.
It's chastising them because you're setting them up for success.
Yes.
Right.
Thus, my girls can tell you what those whoopings were called.
Love licks.
Love licks. Every time I whooped them, I said, these are love licks. I'm chastening you because I want to see you successful. There's a path that I don't want to see you go down. I learned that from people who love me. And when we look at that love, it goes all the way up to the top. It goes to the Most High Yah, whom he loved, that he gonna deal with you. He gonna deal with us. If he don't, he don't deal with us as children. Be afraid if Yah is not correcting you. Verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked. Corrected. Sit on the right path. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, he corrects. He sit on the right path. He scourges, he whooped every son whom he receiveth. Nobody gets beyond this, because he want all of us successful. Nobody get around it, rather.
I mean, even if you look at the example of Christ, who know no sin, right? He still didn't escape testing.
No, he didn't. That's why he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating as it were blood. He was stressing. He even asked the Father, he said, now, if it be possible, remove this bitter cup. This is chastening it. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Thus, verse 7, if ye endure, that word again, patiently endure. If ye endure chastening, Yah dealing with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, everybody gets it, then ye are bastards and not sons. That's why I said, be weary when we're not being corrected by Yah. Coming way back around to 3 John again. Yah corrects us because he loves us, and his ultimate goal is that we be successful. As I get ready to close, thank Yah that he is a wonderful Father who loves us enough to deal with us and manners that positions us to be successful as we continue to grow in our mental state, the heart, toward Him. He is rooting for each one of us. He said, come on, beloved, I want to see you. I want to see you succeed. And I'm willing to give you every advantage to the point where I send angels before you to make the path easy. I provide ways for you to escape so you can bear it. I do everything that's necessary in order for you to be successful. I am there with you always. My grandson is active today. Yeah. And so, you know, I want you to leave out of here, leave from this lesson on the night, being very encouraged, knowing that you have a Father who loves you and want to see you successful in everything that you do. But He's wise enough not to do it unless our mind is right. That's good parenting. Great parenting. All right, that's all I got. I'm finished. Any questions, comments? Y'all good? Okay. We'll close here. Father, y'all, we just honor you, and it's good to know, to have further confirmation that you love us and that you desire for us to be successful above all things. But more importantly, you desire that our mind increase in the knowledge of you and your kingdom as we prosper. And we appreciate you requiring those things to be or to go hand in hand. And we just bless you again for all things. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.